Our study is now in the latter part of the 13th chapter of Judges. We're ready to begin at the 24th verse, and this verse and the next give the story of the birth and early childhood of Samson. Verse 24 says, "And the woman bare a son." Now, she was barren, but the angel came and gave her the promise that she would have a son. And so the promise has been fulfilled. God does not give a promise without bringing about the fulfillment of it, does not give a prophecy without it coming to pass. And so here this woman did have the fulfillment in that she bore a son. She now no longer was a barren woman, but she was fruitful. And called his name Samson. Now this name Samson has been derived from the word Shemesh, S-H-E-M-E-S-H, which means the sun, according to some scholars. And it really means a little sun, or a small sun, or the sun in miniature. And we're talking about the word S-U-N when we say sun. The next phrase says, "And the child grew." And knowing the great strength of Samson, we would have to believe that he grew rapidly, or he developed fast into a maturing young man. So this would seem to imply that he had a very satisfactory development as he grew. The next phrase says, "And the Lord blessed him." Samson was blessed. It doesn't tell us any of the particular details during his childhood, but we'd know that he'd be blessed with good health. He'd be blessed with a body that had served him well. He'd be blessed by being free from any truly devastating disease. Verse 25 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times." So we do find in his early years that the Spirit of the Lord did begin to come upon him. It moved him at times, which means that it didn't move him at all the time. He didn't have it with him constantly, but there were times in which he was actually inspired by and guided by the Spirit of the Lord. And this says that it happened in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Zorah is very near to the city of Jerusalem, being just a little bit south of it. Eshtaol, we're not exactly sure where that is. Some seem to think that it was a little farther west into the Sorek Valley. But there's a place called the Camp of Dan between these two points, and it seems that this was probably a military camp, a place where the protectors of the tribe would muster. And so Samson was associated with them, and at this time he'd be showing his brilliance, showing his maturity, and even demonstrating the fact that the Spirit of God was upon him at times in the vicinity of this Camp of Dan. Now we must remember that of all the things that Samson did, and of all the evidences of his strength and ability, he was not influenced by wine or strong drink, because he didn't touch these things from his mother's womb. So today we have to know that we can be all of our potential. We can do all the things that it's intended for us to do. We can excel in strength and zeal and wisdom and all these things without having to be under the influence of alcohol at all, because this certainly was the case with the man Samson. Now we're beginning the fourth chapter of the book of Judges, and we're really getting into the story of Samson. And we find that Samson was a character that did not do all the things that we expect him to do. He was very unusual, and so we'll see that a lot of the things that Samson did were quite unique to him and to his dispensation of being the judge. Verse 1, "And Samson went down to Timnath, and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother, and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife." Timnath is about 10 miles west of Zorah, and this would all be territory that Samson would be quite well familiar with. But we have an unusual thing here. Samson went to this Philistine city, and he saw a woman there that was of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, she was very appealing to him for some reason or other. He wanted to take her to wife, but rather than just go out and flagrantly marry her and then make the announcement to his parents, he went to his father and his mother first, and he tried to get their permission. He did get their permission. He told them what his desires were, told him what his feelings were, and he appealed to them then for their permission and for their help in the obtaining of this daughter. Now, they didn't know that this was God's will for him to marry this woman. They didn't know that there was a special reason for this to be brought about, which we'll learn about in verse 4. They did know that in Deuteronomy 7 and 3, that God has given a law against an Israelite marrying someone that was not an Israelite. In Deuteronomy 7 and 3, he says, "Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly." So in view of this law of God, and in view of the fact that they were ignorant of the fact that this was truly God's will for Samson to marry this woman, they tried to talk Samson out of it, and they used the very same kind of reasoning that any righteous person should have used then and now, when a son or daughter is contemplating marrying someone outside of the church. And so this is the response that they gave to Samson. Verse 3, "Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Is there any one in our tribe, in our family, is there any one that would be acceptable to God that you could find to marry, rather than have to go and take this daughter of the Philistines, this daughter of the uncircumcised people?" You can tell by the tone that's used here that they're quite unhappy with this situation, that they're trying to talk Samson out of it, that they're trying to use reason, they're trying to appeal to the fact that it's contrary to the basic will of God for a man to take a woman to wife that's of another tribe, of another religion, that does not know the true and living God. This is going to bring about trouble. This is going to bring about all kinds of strife and trying to serve God. And so in the normal everyday course of life, this would be a thing very contrary to what God wanted. And the only reason that there is an exception here is because there was a special dispensation for Samson in his dealings with the Philistines to marry this woman. And we today, who serve the same God, who has the same feeling about those that are not members of the true body of Christ, we need to have the same philosophy about this that Samson's parents had. We need to use the same vigor, the same persuasion that they attempted to use here to try to talk Samson out of marrying this woman. We need to use that same vigor whenever we're approach with a similar situation today, because according to what the Bible says, they're going to lead the son or the daughter away from the true and living God into the serving of a strange God. And that rule hasn't changed. That tendency for this to happen hasn't changed. And so we need to redouble our efforts to see that our children marry those that are members of the faithful and true Church of God. And Samson said unto his father, "Get her from me, for she pleaseth me well." Samson wasn't dissuaded. His mind wasn't changed. He still was under obedience to his parents. He still was dealing with his parents. He still was trying to reason with his parents. But he hadn't changed his mind. And verse 4 says, "But his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel." Somehow or other, it was the Lord's will for Samson to marry this woman because of this conflict with the Philistines, because of the fact that the Philistines had dominion over Israel, and because of the fact that Samson had been appointed to be the one to begin to overcome the Philistines. And so it was the use of this marriage that God was going to make to help Samson in his work. And, of course, the father and mother didn't know that. And if there had not been a special reason for this marriage, it certainly would have been improper for Samson to insist upon his choice, and would also have been improper in the parents to have agreed to it at last. So this treaty of marriage that Samson is entering into is expressly said to be of the Lord in verse 4. So it seems that in the particular case of Samson, because Samson had a special dispensation as being the judge, as being the one inspired of God, that God did dispense with this law regarding the marrying of an outsider. The primary reason for this law being given was because the outsiders would draw the people of God into false worship. In this particular case of Samson, it must have been felt by the Lord that this would not happen because of a special providence that Samson had. Also, this was a method that the Lord used for Samson to get a true advantage of the Philistines. These Philistines had a very deep entanglement in their superiority over the people of God. They didn't just bring a military force and conquer the country, but they had insidiously infiltrated the country, and they were plundering the people, and they were using methods that it was most difficult to do anything about. So Samson, by marrying one of them, was able to be a thorn in their side. He was able to get some kind of an insight as to how to best overcome the Philistines. And so for some reason or other, it was the divine providence of God that this marriage was expressly said to be of the Lord in verse 4. Beginning in verse 5, we have the account of two happenings that were probably designed to encourage Samson and to demonstrate to Samson that he did have power. It's one thing to have power and strength. It's another thing to know that you have it and be able to use it. So verse 5 says, "Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath." Now they were going down to make the marriage contract, to make the arrangements for the marriage. His father and his mother were with him. Samson was still an obedient person to his parents, and his parents agreed with what he was doing. And as they came to the vineyards of Timnath, the next phrase says, "And behold, a young lion roared against him." Now it seemed that Samson had strayed off of the main road, and he was not walking right with his parents at this time. He was walking among the vineyards there, and this young lion roared against him. This was a very frightening and dangerous encounter. This was a young lion, the most dangerous kind. This was a lion that was no doubt hungry or out to do some kind of mischief, because he was roaring against him. He was actually attacking Samson. Verse 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him." So the Lord came to his rescue. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He had all the power, all the strength, all the ability that God would have him to have. And he rent him as he would have rent a kid. That is, Samson was able to kill this lion. He killed him just like if he'd been killing a little baby goat. He was able to overcome him successfully. He tore him apart. And he had nothing in his hand. That is, he didn't have any kind of weapon or instrument in his hand to do this. It was just raw strength that he used to accomplish this with. And so this would demonstrate to Samson that if he could do this to a lion, certainly he could handle a Philistine. He could handle a man who would not have the strength, nor the ability, nor the ferocity that this lion had. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Now, he didn't go and brag and boast about this. He was not a person that was filled with pride. No doubt he had some kind of amazement at his strength and his ability. But he realized that this was God that had given him this strength. And so he didn't bother to tell his father or his mother about this encounter with the lion. And we don't know all the reasons why he didn't tell his father or mother, but certainly one of the reasons would be to avoid bragging and having a boastful attitude. Verse 7, "And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well." So they made the arrangements for the marriage. It seems that up until this time, the woman didn't know that he wanted to marry her. He first of all made the decision himself, then he went to his parents and got them to agree, and then he brought his parents with him as he went down to make the marriage arrangements. So she pleased Samson well. Verse 8, "And after a time he returned to take her." Now they're going to make another trip to Timnath to consummate the marriage. He's going to take her. "And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion." So as they're passing this same place where he had encountered the lion before, he turned aside to examine the carcass of the lion. No doubt this was a fairly indelible memory in his mind about this encountering of the lion, and so he wanted to stop and recount the experience in his own mind, quite possibly to give thanks to God for having delivered him from that lion, because it was the Spirit of the Lord that did come upon him and help him to overcome the lion. So he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Now, honey was a staple in this part of the world. The land of Canaan is described as being a land that flowed with milk and honey. And here we find a swarm of bees had built a hive inside the carcass of this lion. And we'd have to assume that even though the lion was a dead animal, it was not a man. And so it was not unclean then for Samson to take of the honey that was found there. And we also have to consider that as he took the honey, that he had to encounter the bees. Verse 9 says, "And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating." He had to encounter the bees, and so this would be another way that God had assisted him and given him the ability to overcome an obstacle, overcome this hive of bees as he took the honey. And he went on eating. He ate of the honey. And came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. So he shared the honey that he had with his parents. But he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. He still didn't relate to them the story about the lion. And so we see that Samson was able to accomplish two great things here. One, killing the lion. And two, the next, obtaining this honey from the carcass of the lion. And in neither case did he explain to his parents about the great deed that he had to accomplish to do this. Beginning with verse 10, we have the story of the wedding and the preparation made for it. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. So it was the custom to make a feast for this wedding. It was a custom for the father to go down and make the arrangements with the woman, with the bride-to-be. And Samson went along with the custom. There was nothing violating his religion, his duty to God to do this. He was not going to engage in any bad activity to do this. And so Samson followed the custom of the day. Verse 11, "And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him." So Samson made such a favorable impression upon them. They wanted to honor him and favor him to the point that they brought 30 companions to be with him. He was going to have plenty of company, plenty of association. And they were doing their best, it seems, to make things go well with Samson. Verse 12, "And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you." So in the course of this feast, to help liven things up and make it more interesting, Samson puts forth a riddle to them, something that would challenge their mental ability, their ability to figure out a mysterious thing. And they also have a wager connected with this, so that if the men are able to do this, able to figure this riddle out and give Samson the answer to it, then it will cost Samson. Otherwise, if they can't give the answer, then they will pay a like amount to Samson. Now, of course, Samson stood a lot more to lose here because he is paying 1 to 30, whereas the 30 are paying 30 to 1. And so he would have to pay 30 times as much as each one of them would have to pay if he lost. So he says, "I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments." And they said unto him, "Put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it." Verse 14, "And he said unto them, Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle." So we know what Samson has reference to here. He has reference to the fact that he had slain this lion that would be the eater. And then out of the carcass of this lion, which is referred to here as the strong, came forth sweetness, which was the honey that was later found in the carcass of the lion. But he gave this riddle to them, and at this point he hadn't told anybody about the riddle. His parents didn't know it, and it may very well be that this is one of the reasons this was kept secret, so that Samson could use it as a riddle on this occasion and gain advantage over the Philistines. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. So they spent 3 days working on the riddle, trying to figure out what it said, but in 3 days they were unable to do it. Verse 15, "And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, Entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire." Now, they turned then to Samson's wife. They said, "You find out some way to get the answer to this riddle. You entice your husband to give the answer to it. For if you do not, we're going to burn you and your father's house with fire." So they made a very vile threat here. They made a very fearsome threat to commit murder to this woman and her father if she didn't find out the answer to the riddle. And they further say, "Have you called us here to take what we have? Is it not so? Aren't you in this thing with him just to rob us and to gain some goods from us?" And of course that was a false accusation. So we see here then the scene set for the betrayal of Samson by his wife. Well, we're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying goodbye, friend.